So my notes say that, tell me that one of you is black. Is that?
That's me.
Which yeah.
I identify as black. You?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been questioned on that.
Yeah.
Because as a matter, when I was speaking at Northwestern University, a young lady asked me, do I identify as black? And of course, Joe Biden came out and said, if I did not vote for him, then I'm not black. Yeah. So I'm really confused. Yeah. And I've been called the black face of white supremacy and yeah. things of that nature. So I really don't know what I
am. Since you didn't.
But I'm just glad to be here with y'all.
I thought Larry Elder, like, copyrighted that.
Only in America can you become president of the United States and also be called the black face of white supremacy.
That was like his trademark.
The black no, that's face. All of us.
You can all be. Okay.
All y'all. As we
all
said.
Y'all, all y'all. Since you didn't vote for Biden, have you had a hard time eating hot food or dancing or anything? Is that
you know, I've had difficulties with my slam dunking. I really
dunking
have.
Is tough, yeah.
Dunking is very tough. You know, I used to have basketball skills, but as soon as I didn't vote for Joe Biden, I mean, I couldn't drain the 3 pointers.
Yeah, two yeah. years of just terrible.
Yeah, yeah. No rhythm.
We should have brought some hot sauce.
Yeah, just can you taste this?
It's yeah. in my pocket. You remember Hillary Clinton yeah, said black people always
in your
carry.
Purse.
Yeah, yeah. It's in her purse,
said,
hot sauce.
She said they said she was on. Did you see that? She was on a radio show with a couple of black DJs, and they said, "What do you always carry in your purse?" And she goes, "And it's like her brain is processing. What do I say to pander the best?" And she goes, "Hot sauce."
With a southern accent.
I've never
tape.
Actually seen that. Yeah. I've heard of it.
I yeah, with a southern accent. Hot you know? Sauce. So it was just very, yeah. Anyway. But this isn't about Hillary Clinton.
No.
It's not what we came here to talk about.
No, not even a little bit. Yeah.
What did we come here to talk about?
Well, we came here to talk to these two fellows. So nice. So we have Colonel Alan West and Rick Green. And you are a colonel as well?
No.
A colonel?
Is no, I just carry his bags everywhere we go.
Oh, okay.
That's not true.
That's my job. Okay.
He's a colonel of the Constitution.
You're like a constitutional
that.
Colonel.
I like that.
Yeah. Hey, I'll take that. Props. Just put that on the website.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not right. an official position. Doesn't come with any pay, but.
Just get to talk about the Constitution.
Just to be clear.
All
the time. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And you are, and both of you guys are standing up for kind of constitutional rights. You're standing up for, you know, you're speaking at college campuses with a lot of different organizations. And it's, yeah. yeah. So, I mean, that's, how has that been for you? Isn't it really interesting?
Oh, it's great because, you know, it really is like shooting guppies because these kids have been fed such mess and they think they're smart. But they're not. And so it's always interesting because you can pick them out in the audience, you know, who they is going to step up to the microphone and ask you a question. And as soon as you cut down that first one, then the other ones look around. It's like, I yeah. don't want to be a YouTube viral moment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What was I'm wrong with yeah. viral
a couple months ago?
Oh, yeah. That was up in Buffalo
they
where,
you, out
the,
about.
You know, the black kids chased me off the campus shouting Black Lives Matter. So I found it very interesting, Rick, that once upon a time, I remember, I mean, and I'm a black guy. I don't know where the camera's at. Yes, I am.
What?
But I'm a black guy who was born in a blacks-only church in Georgia in 1961. And yet, once upon a time, blacks had to fight to get onto these campuses, and now black kids are chasing educated black people off of these campuses. And it's just an incredible irony.
That must be really challenging. I watched one of the viral videos that went where you had a good conversation with this. She seemed like she was really upset. She was really like high energy. Had a lot of emotions.
Oh, I remember that.
Do you remember? Yeah. And
Northwestern University.
Yeah, that's where that was.
They pay a lot of money to go to Northwestern.
Right.
Bad return on investment, yeah. based upon her. That's right. I mean, I just finished talking about the Iranian nuclear agreement. And for a guy, you know, that used to jump out of airplanes, I thought I did a pretty good job, uh-huh. you know, breaking it down. So here comes this young lady, first question. I'm saying, okay, I got to get ready. It's going to be a tough policy question. She asked me, do you identify as black? And I'm just thinking, I mean, what prism are you looking through?
That's right.
Yeah. But the thing is that so many people have been conditioned to believe that your skin color determines your path in life. You know, I'm sitting here with you three white guys, and I'm supposed to feel oppressed. Well, I hate to tell y'all. Y'all don't oppress me.
No.
And I'm not.
Or impress you.
Or yeah, that's, no, you do impress me. You do impress me, especially, you know, well, the clip of you being Satan is just awesome. That is just totally awesome. I mean, Satan is jealous of you. But
it came really natural to him.
Yeah, that's right.
How do you classify a red guy, though?
I get a lot of.
Well, you can't say that.
Red face. Red face.
Yeah, yeah. Red face. Yeah,
you can't say red face because, I mean, that's
very offensive.
How do you even know we're white?
I mean, that's right.
You're assuming a lot.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are.
And Rick, do you identify as black or?
Only when I'm with Alan.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm trying to be a colonel when I grow up. That's my goal.
And you identify as a colonel as well.
That's yes, right. Yes. Right, so. I don't get the extra bump in pay, but the identification helps.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. And you do, you have the Patriot Academy, which is something that you're running, which is, can so you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, we're raising up the next generation of leaders. We call them the Navy SEALs of thought. And so we're training
Why can't they be Army Special Forces? Well, Dadgum Navy has done a great job marketing, man. Yeah. Dadgum. Yeah.
Oh, wait. So let's, really quick, let's hang on that for a second. The SEALs versus the special ops.
Uh-oh.
I mean, you think it's like this, like a...
Navy SEALs or Army Green Beret... guys that wanted a prettier uniform, that ice cream white suit. And they just do a better job marketing. Our guys are quiet professionals.
They sound like fighting words. I don't know. We
got to fight each other. Yeah, we got to fight each other.
We love that now. So we love instead of Navy SEALs of thought, how should I say this? The Army Special Forces.
No, just call them. Just say Special Operations. You're training Constitutional Spec Ops.
Constitutional Spec Ops. And that, what does that look like, and how do you get involved with that?
Yeah, so we're
Constitutional Coast Guard.
Just doesn't have the same.
Constitutional Space Force.
Maybe not. I don't.
I just had a bad vision.
Constitutional ROTC. Sure. ROTC.
Right,
yeah. For the layperson,
I got it
out there. That wasn't as good of a joke. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah,
I'm a product of ROTC.
Are you? Did you do ROTC?
Yeah, high school and college. But that's okay. Go to Rick.
Okay, I'm. Yeah,
I just got to get myself
offended.
Composed.
I just offended our guests. Yeah.
No, the whole idea is to get them grounded, make sure they understand where we came from as a nation, why America is the greatest nation in history. We teach the good, the bad, and the ugly, but then teach them how to defend the Constitution, understand constitutional limitations of government. And then articulate that, actually go out and win over their generation. So we're not going to get every kid to come through Patriot Academy, but if we can get the leaders, train them to articulate these things, then they can go win over their generation. So we've been doing it 20 years. We got grads serving in every level of government, out there making movies, doing music. They're in every area of the culture, but they're culture warriors for restoring the Constitutional Republic.
Lauren Boebert.
That's right. She's one of our Constitutional Live grads. She's been through our programs.
That's very
Burgess
cool.
Owens. A bunch of the state reps that fought against the COVID crackdowns and dictators in the states. So they're involved at every level, but the whole idea is so they'll be good citizens. So we don't want everybody coming through Patriot Academy just to go run for office. We just want them to be good citizens. So we're teaching what the schools have not taught for the last 50 years, just basically good civics, and then teach them leadership skills and how to go out and win in the culture. Or as Alan likes to say, a constitutional boot camp. No, Constitutional Prep Academy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Gosh, that sounds pretty good. I'd like to send my kids there.
And it's not just kids. We have 15,000 Constitution coaches now that actually host our classes in living rooms and churches and everything in the community. So people are paying attention like never before. Thank you to the left for being so insane that you've awakened a ton of people out there. And our job
like
is to equip them.
Constitutional Bible study.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. In fact, we call it Biblical Citizenship in Modern America.
Okay.
Biblical citizenship.
So do you read the Bible for your devotion time every day, or do you read the Constitution?
Both.
Okay. Together.
Actually, my Bible is called a Founder's Bible. It's what David Barton put out a few years ago. And so it's chock full of great articles from the founding era where they're saying, here's how we used Proverbs, whatever, or here's how we used Exodus, whatever. So it's you read the Bible and then you go, okay, what did these guys do with that scripture to literally be salt and light, to take that scripture and apply it to their neighborhoods.
We read this psalm, and then we decided to push a bunch of tea in the harbor.
Yeah, pretty close.
I like that idea.
But, it's interesting because, when Joshua took over and from Moses, and God told Joshua in chapter 1, verse 5 through 9, he said, this book of the law, do not turn from it from the right or to the left. You shall meditate upon it day and night, and you will have success and prosperity wherever you go. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous, Lord God? Shall not leave you nor forsake you. So I think it's important, as Rick just articulated, it's not just the Judeo-Christian faith heritage Bible that we read, but we also need to read the Constitution, and then you will see the interrelationship. One of the things I think is so great, and I share this with Rick all the time, there is no other nation in the world that has been founded on a premise that the rights and liberties and freedoms of the individuals come from the Judeo-Christian creator God. That's special. I mean, Locke wrote about it in natural rights theory, but it was codified in our Declaration of Independence. And so I think it's so important that we realize that. And the left is doing a damn good job of trying to undermine and eradicate that Judeo-Christian faith heritage, that foundation. Because if your rights don't come from God with the big G, guess who they think is the grantor and the taker of your rights? Government with the little G. Mm-hmm. And so we got to be on guard for that.
It's the whole reason Eisenhower pushed for under God being added to the pledge was That's to distinguish right. between communism and the American way of life, and said, look, the communists actually say that you have a lot of these freedoms, but they come from government, so they can take them away or infringe upon them anytime they want. The American system is based on the idea that it comes from God, not from our neighbors, so you can't take it from me. Yep. God gave it to me, and it's protected in that way. But back to what you were saying about, you know, actually applying Psalms or whatever it might be, I mean, you read the founders, that's exactly what they did. I mean, they traced clause after clause in the Constitution directly to Scripture. Huh. You know, they were reading Montesquieu's Spirit of the Laws and Separation of Powers, but they also said Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is evil, no man can know it, so we don't trust you as king. We don't trust you as king. We want to spread this thing out as much as possible. So that's why I love reading both. And our theory is biblical citizenship. If you're going to call yourself a believer, you need to know what the Bible says about how to form your societies and how to treat your neighbors. But if you're an American, you also need to know what the Constitution says about that and how to do this the right way. And so that's why we combine the two when we're teaching.
Now, biblical citizenship is an interesting point because there is sort of an accusation being leveled at Christians that are engaged in civics and stuff. And they're saying that we're engaging in it's a way. I mean, even Christianity Today just had an article about this, which just irritates me. Because they're saying, we don't want to be culture warriors. That's not what we're trying to do. We're just trying to preach the gospel. You know, do you think that there's a separation between, you know, evangelism, gospel-centered church stuff, and this idea of a culture war? Do you guys feel like there's a...
Yeah, I think they've totally...
They're making a distinction for what purpose?
So you're anti-preaching the gospel. That's what you're saying.
I
think they completely misunderstand the Great Commission. We're supposed to make disciples of all nations. So it's actually our job to go teach them, as Jesus said, everything that he commanded. So if we're not teaching people how to actually apply Scripture to their daily lives at work, in their family, and in their neighborhood, in their state, in their nation, we're not doing a good job of actually doing the Great Commission. And what they've kind of made it look like is if you're a good Christian, all you do is get people to walk the aisle. That's it. Don't dare try to apply the Bible to something they're actually going to face on Monday morning,
right?
Or face on Tuesday at the polls, and it's been a huge disservice. And you would have had a hard time finding people in the founding era that thought like that. I mean, the reason that we even had a revolution is because the pastors were leading the way. They were teaching liberty. You go to Lexington, where it all started with the shot heard around the world, and it was Pastor Jonas Clark teaching those guys for over a decade about liberty. So he was really priming those guns that would be fired on that day. And it all came from the church. It came from pastors that were applying Scripture. Today, these guys that you're talking about, they're trying to get, it's a progressive left infiltration into the church that has silenced and neutered the church. So Now we don't even not apply the Bible. If you do apply the Bible, you're a Christian nationalist.
That's the accusation, yeah. Right? Have you guys been accused of being Christian nationalists?
I think we're the ebony and ivory leaders.
Yeah. Christian nationalists. That's fine.
Yeah.
But are you ebony or the
ivory? I might be ivory. I mean, it'll depend on what day. But it's interesting.
Side by side on the piano keyboard.
It's interesting because when you go back and you read Alexander Fraser Tytler, Scottish political philosopher that talked about the cycle of democracy, the pivotal point was spiritual faith. Yeah. And all of a sudden, it seems that we have forgotten that. And the body of Christ needs to realize that we're not trying to, you know, force people into anything. But it says in Romans 12, too, that we're not supposed to conform to the world. Hmm. We're supposed to transform it, you know, through his mind and that is within us. And, you know, Jesus even said that, you know, you are in the world, but you're not of the world. And they will hate you because you're not, you know, of that world and that worldly view. So I think it's important right now for folks to say that, you know, I just don't think that taking kids to a drag queen show is a cool thing. You know, it's time that we look at some church and say, I don't think that drag queen bingo thing is something that we really should be advocating. But secular humanism is becoming so strong in America. But again, it's about undermining the omniscience and the omnipotence of God. You know, all of a sudden, God wasn't smart enough to get guy and girl right. Mm-hmm. He was too dumb. So you can make that decision yourself to determine, you know, what you are, your gender. God can't get weather right. Okay? Because weather now, you know, is man-made climate change, you know? And I remember when someone asked me if I believed in climate change, I said, sure, winter, spring, summer, and fall.
That's right.
Okay? Now, what are y'all talking about? You know, and now we're to the point where it says in the Bible that, you know, I set before you today this choice, life or death, choose life so that you and your future generation shall live. But instead, you know, we got this right that comes from man, comes from government, little g, that we can go in and we can kill our unborn in the womb by a heinous method, you know, dismembering our children in the womb. If I'm a soldier on the battlefield, guys, and we're up against in a firefight against Taliban, Al-Qaeda, whatever, and we schwack them, I can't go over and dismember them. I can't chop off an ear and put it in a little bag.
What's the technical definition of schwack?
That's a Georgia thing. That's kind of like what Georgia did to Oregon. All you Duck fans out there this past weekend, 49-3. That's called schwacking.
Yeah.
Okay. So
they won.
Yeah, we win. They lose. But if you do that on the battlefield, dismember the enemy, you go to Fort Leavenworth. Long time. But yet, what we're trying to say now is that someone has the right granted by government, little g man, based upon an ideological agenda. You can go in, you can hack up babies in the womb. That's okay. That's not okay. And all of a sudden now, Rick and guys, when we see churches being vandalized, when we see pro-life centers being firebombed,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and yet we got someone talking about if you believe in the Constitution, you're an extremist. What are those guys
yeah.
that are going in and burning and tearing down churches, which is our first liberty that we have, the freedom of religion, free exercise.
They're the ultra MAGA that Biden's been talking about.
No, it's the opposite. They're the anti-ultra MAGA.
Oh, the anti, you're right.
Well, speaking of the military, there's been this conversation going around, is the military going woke?
Yes.
Is that...
Yes.
How is that affecting our presence on the world stage? Is China still worried about America? How do our enemies view
the military? I think that if you go and look at a Chinese training exercise right now, they're not sitting around talking about their feelings. They're not sitting around talking about
if pronouns.
You pronouns, sure? If you identify as a, you know, female or whatever, you can go into the opposite sex bathroom. They're talking about being the next world hegemonic power. That's what their One Belt, One Road strategy is. The problem we have in our military right now is at the senior level leadership. For whatever reason, they are kowtowing to a political agenda instead of realizing and understanding that they took an oath to the Constitution, not to a political party, not to an ideology or what have you. And that is having detrimental effects on the readiness and capability. All you have to do is look and read that we are suffering some of our worst retention and recruiting levels ever, to the point where in the Army, they're dropping down. Their in-strength goes down to 40,000. Dropping them down from another 40,000. So this is very dangerous. We could not go to battle and be successful against some of the foes out there. And, you know, how is it that you're going to have a cohesive fighting force if you're telling this guy over here he's an oppressor and you're telling me I'm oppressed? We can't be on the battlefield in a foxhole and fight effectively if you're allowing that wokeism, that cultural Marxism, to come into the military. And so it is very disconcerting. And when you see these senior level generals and you think about what just happened, the 1 year anniversary of Afghanistan, that's just an indicator that we're not in the right position right now.
And what that's exactly backwards of what it was, right? Because wasn't the military one of the first places where you really were living out MLK's dream? You weren't judged based on the content.
No.
Of your color. It was that guy next to you. It wasn't about color anymore. The, and the now left, we flipped that and we've made that a place.
The left has always hated the military because that was kind of like the last bastion of traditional standards and values and things of this nature. The military is about, you know, a standard, and you meet and exceed the standard. Now it's about outcomes. You know, we got to have X amount of this, X amount of that, and what have you. And it's very worrisome. And it's going to take a while for us to correct this.
Yeah, what's the solution, do you think?
Solution is to get a different commander-in-chief and to get different people that are there at those upper echelon levels in the political and military side. A lot of folks don't realize is that your last real promotion as an officer in the military where you judge or evaluate by your peers is one star, Brigadier General, Rear Admiral. After that, two-star, three-star, four-star are all political appointments. And so when you look at a lot of these guys that have come along, they came along during the Obama era, and they're still in position. Obama did an incredible job, you know, schwacking, again, that senior level of military.
How do you spell that?
S-C-H-W-A-C-K-I-N-G.
That's what I thought.
Schwackers. I thought the Clintons were more the Schwackers.
Yeah, the Clintons are the
Schwackers. Well, they are the ultimate Schwackers. They're like ultra MAGA Schwackers.
Because you might get Schwacked if you go against the Clintons.
Yeah, that's true.
You will.
You'll get Schwacked.
History has proven that.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you'll Schwack yourself, actually.
Schwack.
That's true.
Go Schwack yourself.
I Schwacked myself.
Go Schwack yourself.
Just like the guy in Russia who somehow threw himself out of a window. You know,
he schwacked himself twice schwacked in the back himself. Of the head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's kind of.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Biden famously, a year ago, he famously withdrew from Afghanistan and left behind, what, $80 billion in equipment. What are your take on the wars in the Middle East? Is that something we still need to be fighting? Was that handled well? Did we need to leave, but it should have been handled in a different way?
If you had solved
all the problems in the Middle East.
Okay, here we go. I spent 2.5
30
years,
seconds or less, you have to solve
I spent 2.5 years in Afghanistan, and what happened was very near dear to my heart, and it hurt a lot of our veterans who lost friends, lost limbs over there. You don't have to have a large military presence of force, but you need to have enough of the deterrent force. And in the military, we say you're either terrain-oriented or you're enemy-oriented. You have to stay focused on this enemy. The big thing about Afghanistan and the Middle East is not to allow Islamic jihadism to have a sanctuary, a base of operations. That's it. And as long as you're doing that, you're fine. And I think Donald Trump proved that you could do that with small forces that are targeting the enemy and where they are in their key leadership and letting them know that we will always come after you. But, you know, I don't see it as a celebratory thing that we got Ayman Zawahiri in Kabul in a very ritzy neighborhood, because that shows me that the people we took off the battlefield 20 years ago that we allowed to come back onto the battlefield had brought in the same exact people that we tried to eradicate and get out of that country 20 years ago, which was Al-Qaeda. Now you got ISIS and what have you. So United States of America is in an even tougher situation because of our reduction in military readiness and capability and capacity, the rise of Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, and Islamic jihadism. They know they have a window of opportunity. And coming back to the Constitution, the preeminent responsibilities of the federal government is there in the preamble of the Constitution. You're supposed to, you know, provide the general welfare, okay? That's more of a passive verb. But when you look at the common defense, that's your number one responsibility. And they've got it backwards. They want to give people taxpayer money so that they can get rid of their debt while they watch our military just go into shambles.
And I heard that the Taliban doesn't even respect our soldiers' pronouns, is my understanding.
No, yeah. they
How
don't.
How do they survive?
Who, the Taliban?
No,
soldiers. They're getting misgendered.
It's very hard. I mean, that's why you have all this counseling that is out there to make sure that your feelings aren't hurt too bad. I mean, drill sergeants, I'm sure they have to call you by your, you know, assigned pronoun. Yep.
Your two moms are so proud of you.
You're the military guy. Wasn't it as small as 3,000 that we could have left over there?
Easily.
And we gave up what was the base worth? Over $1 billion or something crazy?
Yeah.
And now that the Chinese actually have it, I mean, it's
yeah, it was a Bagram Air Base.
Only over there does that make us weak. It's the signal it sends everywhere else in the world.
Everywhere.
Move on America now while you've got a president that can't even.
That was the trigger point. Yeah. You're right. 2,500 to 3,000. Just that base that, you know, is that deterrent force, provides some air, you know, support and intelligence support to the Afghan army.
I was going to say, back to the biblical citizenship thing, even the racial divide, that is a biblical issue, right? So you asked, how do you solve this in the military and in the country? You go back to having biblical influence. When we had biblical influence, it was the church that actually brought about racial reconciliation. It was the church that said, you know, neither Jew nor Greek, and we start seeing each other as fellow human beings. And the more we receded and stopped being salt and light in the community, the worse those divisions became, and we opened it up. So almost every answer to every, not almost, every single answer to every single problem we're facing is in God's word, if we'll use it. But we've got to go back to the instruction manual and start using it again.
And we're not talking about making a theocracy.
Right.
That's what the left will say. You know, we're just talking about getting back to fundamentals.
And people with that faith, voting that faith.
Yep.
Yeah. And the thing is, it makes it better for everybody. When we recede, it's worse for everybody. You know, I had somebody interview me about this Christian nationalist thing, and they were like, well, does that mean you want everybody has to be a Christian or else they have to leave the country? And they're like, no. If you follow what the founders did and what we're proposing and pushing for in the Constitution and biblical worldview, everybody benefits. The atheist benefits. The Muslim benefits. Doesn't matter what your belief system is. Mm-hmm. Benjamin Franklin was no Christian, but he understood this. He saw that Christianity made better citizens, so he wanted neighbors that were like that. So he pushed for the Christian religion, even though he wasn't a member of it himself. we don't have enough people that see it that way these days.
That is the same problem with the military is the same problem with the church. We're talking about it's being infiltrated by kind of the wokeism.
Yeah.
And all this progressivism that has kind of made its way in and redefined terms and set us against each other based on our whatever it is, whether it's
and redefine love. Now love
redefine
means
love, redefine definition.
I affirm you no matter how bad or what stupid decisions you're making, I affirm them if I love you.
It's almost like we need the Bible in church.
You think? Mm-hmm. I don't know. That seems like a weird mix. Isn't there a separation of the Bible and
That's right. Of church and church.
Church and church. Yeah, that's it.
That's what we're having now. It's separation of church and church.
Did you guys see Top Gun Maverick?
No. I haven't yet.
Yeah, I did.
Did you like it?
I did, yeah.
What's your guys' favorite war movies?
Military guy, I guess, stands for that first.
Wow.
Or just movies in general.
Does Band of Brothers count? It's not a movie.
Yes, I would count. Totally. I would count Band of Brothers.
And Saving Private Ryan is probably my favorite of all of them.
Yeah.
At the very end when he says, earn this. When he grabs Private Ryan, he's about to die. Last breath is, earn this. I mean,
back
to me, that
Tom Cruise had all that credibility.
Yeah. Like when he shoots the Panzer with his...
Boom. Glory.
Oh, yes. I love that.
Because, you know, when you think about, you know, my history in the military, those men made it possible for me and five generations out of my family to serve in uniform. And I still get goosebumps and I still get teary-eyed when they first put on that blue uniform, because that just set an incredible, stage for us. And, you know, that charge that they did at Fort Wagner, you know, at the lead assault. I mean, to know that here were recently freed slaves that fought for this country, even though they didn't have all those rights, but they believed that showing how much they loved this country and standing up and fighting for it, that one day it would happen, that's special.
And he said Denzel and Morgan Freeman and Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, well, we understand that you've joined the Knights Templar.
Yeah, I was...
got a picture of you.
Yeah, I was invested in there, and it was pretty special because, you know, I wasn't around 900 years ago. I got a lot of gray hair, and I'm old, but not 900 years
old.
But the thing is that what the organization does, the modern organization, the Sovereign Military Order of Temple Jerusalem, is we're about making sure that Christians in the Holy Lands are protected. And I've seen what happens with Christians in the Holy Land, and it's not a good thing. And so we are a charity organization, chivalric organization, that wants to raise the money for their education, helping them with homes and things of this nature, and just the basic needs. I mean, if you think about the ancient Christian church, I mean, it was there. But now, I mean, they're being destroyed. I mean, in the Holy Land, you used to have 23% of Christians in the Holy Land. Now you're down to 2%. Mm. So that's very telling. So we want to make sure that we continue to honor that protection of the Christians. And, you know, I got a 15-month-old grandson. I look forward to the day I can take him to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And so he can be free and see the places that, you know, where Jesus was crucified, where he rose from the dead, all of those great things.
Yeah. So can you tell us where the Ark of the Covenant is?
Yeah.
According to, Harrison Ford, it's in a warehouse.
Warehouse. Yeah. What about the,
belongs
the
in
Holy
museum.
Grail? Is the Holy Grail?
I don't know. Now I will tell you that, you
they
know,
don't
for
have
me,
that one.
You know,
we'll turn the cameras off.
A good thing, lemonade, that's like Holy Grail for me.
How about what's harder to kill? I imagine being a Templar, it's hard to fight the vampires and werewolves that you have to fight. Because that's what Templars do, right? So...
Well, I will tell you is...
Is a vampire harder to kill than a werewolf?
No, I will tell you that anybody will go down with a 308 to the head.
That's good to know.
Does it have to be silver or not?
308.
Just a 308 to the head.
Okay.
Yeah. Like all the books
Bills
are wrong.
Yeah, they're wrong.
So just shoot
them. They're
just shoot a vampire then?
Right in the head, 308.
It doesn't have to be a stake through the heart then.
No. I think if you get them right in the head...
It's ruining my understanding of it.
Well, you just need to go to the range. Okay, and you
I
need to buy
Satan
your 308.
I thought for sure Satan would know his own weaknesses for
well,
his team.
Well, I don't kill the vampires. I just
Satan's trying to gather information.
Yeah,
he's
how do you
to,
if you were going to kill a vampire?
So yeah. Satan's going.
He's
to...
He's getting you to open the playbook, man. Yeah. We need to end the interview now.
So the next thing you know, all the 308s will be restricted for sale.
So you're saying
in the
I need
States.
To get some Kevlar for my vampires
for the head.
For their heads.
Jarrett played Satan in our sketch, if you don't understand what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm not really the devil. I just play him on TV.
There's a new documentary called Uncle Tom 2. Is it a sequel to a movie called Uncle Tom 1? Or
absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you did not see Uncle
Tom
1,
see Uncle
you Tom need 1. To see that.
Had some really great great actors in it. One guy named West, Alan something. Yeah.
You ever heard of
Are you in two? Are you in Uncle Tom too?
Yeah. They were, had the Lord
of
the
Standards. I haven't seen two yet.
They didn't kill you off in the first one?
They did not kill me off. Remember, 308 to the head. It couldn't get to me. No.
He gets better.
It is. So many people believe that this whole thing about black conservatism is something that just happened. It is not. I mean, you had that stupid lady on The View say, black Republican is an oxymoron. Well, in Texas, the Republican Party of Texas was founded by 150 black men on Independence Day of 1867. So I think it's so important.
First blacks in Congress.
First blacks in Congress. All Republicans. One of the founders of Texas A&M University was a black state senator, Matthew Gaines, who used to be a former slave. So it's important we get this history out here. And as we talk about the infiltration of Marxism, communism, statism, whatever, what Uncle Tom too does is really show how the Marxists and communists targeted the black church and targeted the black families and how they co-opted the civil rights movement. And this is all footage, real stuff. Saul Alinsky talking about exactly what they were going to do through the civil rights movement. The NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of the Colored People, was not founded by W.E.B. Du Bois. It was founded by four white socialists at the turn of the century. Mm. Now, Du Bois got put in charge as the black face, but guess what? He was an avowed communist, and he ended up rejecting his American citizenship. And in this film, Uncle Tom 2, we actually show you footage of W.E.B. Du Bois with Chairman Mao. And so there are so many things that have been happening in our country, not just for the black community, but for our country overall, that this documentary is really eye-opening for.
And Saul Alinsky was what? He was like Hillary Clinton's
mentor.
And
if you have not read Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, you're not ready to be on this battlefield. And this is an ideological battlefield.
Yeah. Wow. Cool. So when is the movie come out? Is it already out?
Yeah, it came out August the 26th. Right.
Okay.
And
where can people check it out at?
Yeah, people check it out at UncleTom.com. And you can download and see Uncle Tom 1 for free. And you can get...
Oh, great.
It's
already out. You didn't take me to the premiere to show you had white friends?
You're discovering this on the
internet. We're out, traipsing around being a constitutional colonel. We premiered it in Dallas, Chicago, Phoenix, Arizona. And we're looking at a couple other places, but it's a powerful documentary.
So it's not on Disney Plus.
I don't think it will ever be on Disney Plus because it doesn't have any rainbows.
But they have a whole section in there lifting up black voices.
Yeah, well, that's which kind of black voices? Yeah. It's kind of like Black Lives Matter. Yeah. When you see them, you say, which Black Lives Matter, okay?
That was a lucrative business, though. I mean, $10 million
Black
that guy
Lives
made
Matter.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, made, stole, however you want to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, paid for some nice houses anyway.
Yeah.
So you guys saw the recent speech, Biden standing in front of the... German building,
right?
The
Supreme Leader
swastikas behind him, and the
Supreme Leader Biden,
and the Marines and such. Your thoughts? Are you pro? You're pro the speech, right? You liked it.
Actually, it was a gift.
He's nodding.
It was a gift. Sure. I think he finally, he's showing his true colors. And I mean, he's been a tyrant for a year and a half to do executive orders mandating vaccines, masks, all the airport nonsense, and everything we put up with. This speech, though, showed that he's actually willing to label half the country as extremist and enemies of the state. So a lot of people that thought, he's just a little old grandpa being a nice guy, and they saw him for what he is. I hope. We'll see. Most people are responding that way.
I was surprised he talked for 20, 25 minutes. And
he had to be on something, but...
The meds were working well.
They doped him up.
The meds were working well.
They jacked up his geritol. That's what they jacked up his geritol.
Spiked
the
metamucil.
What do you think about the Marine guys
try one of these.
I will tell you that on the retired military networks, email networks, people are not happy about those Marines being back there because the Marines are not supposed to be part of a political...
Well, there's a line, right? Like, they can stand behind the president if he's delivering something like... there's a line, right?
No. I mean, that's Secret Service. I mean, you would not see anybody of the armed services.
Well, there's all these presidents that do have soldiers behind them when they're giving
a certain speech, but it's not a political, service-related speech. Or the left tried to say the mission accomplished speech by, George Bush. That was the exact same thing. Not exactly. I mean, he was, giving...
There's a military objective.
Absolutely.
And he's
standing, Or being out there with the troops and things of this nature. I was really disturbed. When I saw that, and because again, the optics were just horrible. Mm-hmm. And you look out through the 20th century, through history, I mean, you start thinking of some real bad actors that kind of had the exact same thing. But hey, guys, if you turn over to MSNBC or CNN, they thought it was cool.
Yeah, that's the weirdest part to me.
Yeah.
Do they know what they're doing? That's the question. Do the people behind that set with the red and the military, do they know what they're doing?
No, because they don't talk to you and I. They talk to their own echo chamber.
They don't watch Star Wars.
No, they don't see it happening. Right. They don't get out there and talk to, you know, the everyday Joe and Jane six pack. That's why they say, hey, let's go out there and let's bail out these college students and let's take it from, you know, the blue collar people. Let's take it from the person that took out a loan to get a plumbing certificate or something like that. And let's pay for these guys. This is a great idea. Everyone's going to love it. Mm-hmm. That's what they think because they only talk to themselves and everybody else is just an ignorant rube.
MAGA, they're a MAGA Republican, which do you think they're right? Are MAGA Republicans like the
evil? Think about what he's insulting. Evil? What is a MAGA
Republican? What is Republican? A MAGA? Can you define
you want to make America great and that's bad? We're now an enemy of the state because we want America to be great? I mean, it really is. If somebody actually stops and thinks about it, they realize, wait a minute, this has gone way too far. I just thought it did, you know, when we say they don't necessarily know what they're doing, but it fits their narrative, right? Yeah. They've been building on this since January 6th. This has been the whole thing. You know, I call January 6th the Rostock fire. You go back to 1933. I mean, that's exactly what Hitler used in order to be able to pass the Enabling Acts and get rid of free speech and get rid of freedom of assembly and all the things the Germans had. That's what it took. He had to mislabel, you know, the other parties. And they've been doing that since January 6th. And this thing just fit the narrative of these people are the enemy. They're an enemy of the state. And we have the right to act on them. So I don't know. It's never happened in our history that I know of. I mean, I don't even think in the Civil War. I don't think you had Lincoln talking about a Robert E. Lee in this way. Mm-hmm. And Robert E. Lee certainly wouldn't have talked about Lincoln in this way. I mean, it just – I don't know. It's a turning point that I don't know. I don't know how you can say, you know, I want to bring everybody together except that half of the country.
Lincoln wanted reconciliation with the South, and that really angered a lot of people, but he still saw them as Americans. And so when I think about what he did, and again, coming back to the 20th century and socialism, Marxism, and what they always, you got to dehumanize your enemy.
Yeah.
And when you stand up there and you call, you know, they're a bunch of fascists. Well, you know, I hate to tell you, Joe, anti-fascists or Antifa, they're going around beating up people because they're like expressing opinions and thoughts different from what they believe in. Right. That's the essence of fascism. And so that's what they're the ones doing. I mean, who burned down Portland? Right. A bunch of MAGA Republicans? Give me a freaking break. Who burned down Kenosha, Wisconsin? All of these things that we see happening. But what is
the very definition of fascism is that you're single-handedly doing things without an elected representative body. A dictator's doing it. That's what Joe Biden has been doing with his executive orders. And then silencing the opposition. That's what fascism does. And they've been doing it through media. I mean, you guys have obviously experienced that, but they're doing it. I mean, it is definitely projection. And it's been that all along. They call us everything that they actually are. And I don't think it's going to work. I think it really helps wake up the people in the middle to realize this is no time to sit on the sidelines. You cannot just assume that freedom is going to last in America. Mm-hmm. You got to recognize the fact that most nations fall apart, most great civilizations fall apart at 250 years, and we're just a few years away from that. So we have to say, okay, we broke the mold all throughout our history. We've got to be concentrated right now in order to keep from falling apart at the 250-year mark. It's going to take a real effort. You know, this isn't funny, but it's going to be ugly. This is not going to happen overnight. People have to be ready and willing to say, hey, you know what? I'm willing to shift my focus. Don't have to despair. I mean, this isn't like a situation where you go, oh, let's grab our guns and canned food, go hide out at the ranch. I mean, some people want to do that, but this is the time to say, okay, listen, I got to sacrifice a little bit of my time, my money, my sacred honor. So lives, fortune, sacred honor. I got to look for ways to make a concentrated effort to pass freedom to my kids and grandkids. And that's, you know, fortunately, there's more and more organizations, not just us at Patriot Academy. There's all kinds of groups now that are starting around this nation saying, you know, Moms for Liberty, Moms for America, all these different groups saying, not on my watch. I'm done with just sitting on the sidelines. I'm ready to get involved. Mm-hmm. And I think the emperor's speech last week really played to help us with that. If he'd only worn the hood, you know, and there would have been the thunderous applause of being called now the Galactic Empire, it would have been even better. But
that would have been better.
Star Trek. Rick, you get locked into an elevator with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and you have 30 seconds before the doors open.
Yeah, bridge that gap.
Sell her on the Constitution.
Bridge that gap.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Well, since one of my graduates, Lauren Boebert, was locked in an elevator with her for 30 seconds
and no.
ended up saying some things that she regretted, I'll try not to follow Lauren on this one. But Lauren,
20 seconds left.
I'm interested in that story. Anyway, go ahead.
Gosh, I would say, don't you want to make the decisions in New York for what's best for New York, and let us Texans make the best decisions for us? Support us on Article 5. Let's amend the Constitution to get the federal government out of everybody's business. If you don't want the Supreme Court telling you what to do in New York, then let us do what we want to do in Texas, and you guys do what you want to do in New York.
Ding. Here's some immigrants.
She gets out the elevator. She's been converted.
She's like, I got to rethink my life.
So you teach people how to shoot guns?
She probably said there's five articles to that.
What's the best gun?
Seven.
Could you teach? Could you teach Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez how to shoot a gun?
No. Actually, believe it or not, more than 55% of the people that go through our constitutional defense course are women. Most of the time, that haven't even touched a gun. So we do train a lot of people that have never.
What percent are Democrats?
Probably five.
Okay,
five. Okay, to eight. So you get some.
We get some.
You're bridging that gap.
Do we really want Democrats to know how to shoot guns?
Blue dogs.
Yes. Conservative. Yes. As long as they're if they were Democrats.
I feel like if a Democrat like says yes, I will learn how to shoot a gun, they're probably okay. I don't know, but maybe there's a.
They're in the process.
Like if they're interested in, like, they didn't get scared and run away when they saw the gun. They're right. Probably
it's like pro-life Democrats.
Someone I can probably like, okay. break bread with. Yeah.
That's my line.
We get all kinds, but most of the people that come, they're going through the course because they realize crime's out of control. They realize, that there's a lot of unrest. And even before the chaos of the last 2 years, you still had 2 or 3 million violent crimes a year in the U.S. So, I was the fool in Proverbs for first 40 years of my life, where it says that a wise person foresees danger and takes precaution. A simpleton or a fool walks blindly on and suffers the consequences. And I always thought, it won't happen to me. It doesn't happen in my neighborhood. That stuff happens over on the other side of town. And I didn't realize, actually, it is happening in my neighborhood. It is happening to families just like mine. So my whole attitude changed the first time I went through one of these courses. So we're on a mission to get as many sheepdogs trained as possible. If you want to stop mass murder events, it's all about proximity. You got to have a sheepdog in proximity, close to the mass murderer, if you want to save lives. So we need them in every Walmart, every grocery store, every school. You have good, trained men and women with firearms ready to take on the bad guy. And then you'll end up with situations like West Virginia, the day after Uvalde, all those kids die in Uvalde for an hour and 20 minutes. Those guys sat out in the hallway in West Virginia the very next day. Crazy guy comes in, is going to kill 40 people at a party. Sheepdog with a ponytail. This gal takes out her handgun out of her purse, ends the bad guy's life before he can kill anybody else. That's a good headline, and that's the way it ought to be. Same thing in Indiana. Even though 3 people did die in that mall, that 22-year-old kid was close enough and armed and ready. And he engaged and took out the bad guy who probably would have killed. I mean, he probably would have killed dozens in that mall easily.
That was a good shot, too.
Oh, my gosh. 8 out of 10 from 40 yards away. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
22-year-old kid.
Wow.
Steady hand.
No kidding, man.
So what is the best gun to conceal carry?
Well, for me, full-size 1911. That's
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that what's in your pants?
I wish. I'm in the California, so I can't carry here.
sure. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So is there any kind of amendment or clause in the Constitution about raiding a former president's wife's closet for documents? Or
Article 27.
I couldn't find it when I was looking this morning.
30, right?
Yeah. Article 30. Article 30.
Yeah. But come on, guys. This was not about documents.
Right.
Someone tipped them off, and they said to Donald Trump, had all the baby formula in the world stored underneath Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
And that's what they were looking for. And when they couldn't find the baby formula, they said, well, let's just create something about documents.
Yeah.
But I think the dumbest doggone thing was to say, he may have nuclear codes.
Right.
Well, idiots, nuclear codes change every day.
Okay. Wrote it down on a napkin. It's still good.
I watched enough 24 to know that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Coming up next for Babylon Bee subscribers.
The one Marine that he kind of stepped on a bomb or whatever, but he was able to.
Kind of stepped on a bomb.
Yeah, he kind of stepped on a bomb. He was an EOD guy. He got up. He was able to walk away, and he flipped off, the jihadis because he knew they were watching him.
Are you a Calvinist or an Arminian? You're free will.
See, this is a white privilege question.
Yeah, Calvinist or an Armenian?
I'm definitely the minority.
What the heck that mean?
What is that?
I jumped out of airplanes.
This has been another edition of the Bee Weekly from the dedicated team of certified fake news journalists you can trust here at the Babylon Bee, reminding you to go forth and punch Satan right in the face.